Amen. He's a good father. You may be seated. And if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ." So this says, blessed be God, blessings be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So He is the Father, right? He is our Heavenly Father. And He's supposed to be blessed or praised or worshiped, and this is what we've done. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is His Father, and He is our Father. He is our Heavenly Father, and He is a good Father. Amen? It says, He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Right? That's where we're blessed. We're blessed by Him. And we're blessed in Christ. And this is important because without Jesus, we wouldn't have been able to receive all these blessings. See, He is a good Father. That's the title of my sermon, by the way. it was easy to get into that sermon, to that title. See, He's a good Father. He is our Father. He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the only way to receive these blessings is in Christ, is through Christ, is because of what Jesus has done for us. Actually, this is part of why Jesus came. In John chapter 1, it says that nobody has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, Jesus, He came to declare Him to us. So that word in the Greek, it also means to unfold Him to us or to explain Him to us. See, nobody has ever seen God at any time. Sure, in the Old Testament, you see Moses, you see him, it says he talked face to face with God, but if you really read it, it wasn't God standing in front of Moses. It was face to face in the sense of he was in His presence, you know, he was seeing an aspect of God. You know, he saw His goodness and all these things, but he didn't see really the fullness of God's will, His nature. You know, that revelation was not there until Jesus came. And when Jesus came, and it was part of the reason why He came, it was to explain the Father to us, to show us what the Father is like. That is one of the reasons why you cannot get your image of God or your idea of what God is like from the Old Testament only. Yes, He reveals Himself in the Old Testament. Yes, He never changes, but it's just a part of who He is and His nature and how good He is. And He's pretty good in the Old Testament, by the way. But now it says, you know, Jesus came to declare, to unfold, to show us what the Father is really like, to explain to us what the Father is like. Now, Jesus said to His disciples once, "When you have seen Me, you've seen the Father." Hebrews 1 tells us He's the exact representation of His image. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. There are some people who say, "Yeah, you know, we never really know what God is like." Yes, we do. That's why Jesus came, so we can know what God is like. And all you need to do is look at Jesus and you know what God is like. By the way, a little side note here. When somebody came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, I'm sick, would you please heal me?" Did He ever say no? He tried once, but people were just, you say, "Oh, but Jesus, you know," and He said, "Ah, I love that faith." And he still healed them. Nobody that came to Jesus by faith left without what he was asking for. That's what God is like. Pretty cool, huh? And then people try to come up with all kinds of theological Old Testament, New Testament things. It's like, well, but I hear you. I know the verses. I know there are some, but if you really want to know what God, our Father in heaven is like, you look at Jesus. He's a good Father. He loved the world so much that He sent Jesus. So our Father is a good Father, and this is the first point I want to make, is that He is a good Father in His love. That He loved the world so much that He gave Jesus. Why did He give Jesus? So that everyone that believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you have your Bibles out, let's turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Our Heavenly Father is a good Father. And my first point is He's a good Father in His love. How much He loved us. 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." I want to read that in the Amplified Bible. It says, "See what a quality of love the Father has given, shown, and bestowed on us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God, and so we are." See, we are children of God. And without Jesus, do you know what we were? Jesus said, "Children of the devil." See, there is this idea in the world out there, we are all God's children. No, we're not. We're all God's creatures. He created us and He wants to be our Father. But the Bible says that when we were dead in sins, when our sins were not forgiven yet, the Bible says that we were children of disobedience, children of wrath, and children of the devil. And I don't think that any of us really can understand what it took God to get us from being children of the devil, slaves under sin, inhabitants of the kingdom of darkness. What it took God to get us out of that mess and pull us over into the kingdom of light, sons and daughters of the Most High God, redeemed, saved. It took Him everything. He became a man in His Son, Jesus Christ. He went through hell so we don't have to. He took our sin and our sickness and every curse and every brokenness and everything that separates you from God, that sin brought to pass in your life. He took it. He bore us in it all. He bore it in His own body, died for it on the cross. We don't understand what it really took Him. We can see it. We can thank Him for it. We will never understand what it took. For the first time in eternity, Jesus was separated from the Father. In eternity. He never, ever, ever had to go through that. He did for us. So that we can come back to Him. So through Jesus, we can come back to Him. Because He loved us so much, He made the way. The Bible says, that's also John 1, He said that Jesus came, and it says, whoever received Him. That's why we say that in the services. You know, if you have never received Jesus, that's why we say it. Whoever receives Him, to them He gave the power, the right, the permission to be called children of God. It's not something, it's something that has to be earned, but it's not something you can earn. It's something that He did on the cross for us. And all we do is receive it. And we say, thank you, Jesus. So He is a good Father. When there was no way, He made a way. And actually, it's one of the first thoughts He had right after the fall of man. He said, I'm going to fix this. He started to prophesy. You know, somebody will come. And He told the snake. He told the devil. He said, you will pierce his heel, but He will crush your head. And it's exactly what happened. You know, the devil nailed Jesus to the cross. But what the devil didn't know by that, Jesus was crushing his head. Isn't that cool? See, the devil thought he won. See, when that nail, you know, went through his foot, you know, the devil thought like, yeah, you know. And at the same time, his skull was breaking. Because at that moment, on the cross, Jesus triumphed over principalities and powers. So, He did all that for us because He loves us so much. He's a good father. And he is good to us. He is good. He loves us so much. And he's pretty amazing when it comes to that. And that is the basis of our relationship now, right? This is the basis. We know the Father is good. We know he loves us. We know he loves us so much that he went through hell just so we don't have to. We know that he would personally go to the cross, suffer, and die for us. The Bible says it was God in Jesus. See, the Father was there when it happened, right? You know, God is one. Don't get me started on that. You know, God is one, yet he's three. Well, whatever. This is one of these things you just go like, okay. you don't think about it too much. But he is so good that he did that. He is good. He loved us so much, and he is good in his love. Now then, the other thing I want to show you is he is good in his giving. Let's look at Matthew 7. Now, if you're sitting here and you say, Alex, you speak a little too fast, you know, it's hard for me to follow. Well, you know, I know, but complain to your watch. Matthew 7, and we'll start in verse 7. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to you who ask him? See, he said, hey, you're a bunch of, you know, you're evil. You know, in your flesh dwells nothing good, yet even you, when you love your children and your children come to you and they ask for something, even you have the desire to give it to them. How much more do you think our Heavenly Father will do that? See, we sometimes have this problem, you know, when we think about God, we create a God in our image. You know, we look at God and we think, oh, surely God thinks like us, God speaks like us, God looks like us. You know, somebody once said, if God hates all the people you hate, you probably created a God in your own image. You know, sometimes we do that. But on the other hand, when Jesus became flesh, when the Word became flesh and God walked among us, he showed us what he is like. So when Jesus says, see, you love your children and you give good things to your children, then God is even bigger and better and gooder than that. So in this case, it's totally true. So don't you know, fall off the road on the other, fall into the other ditch. Because there are some things where he says, well, you know what? Just like you are when you are with your kids, the Father is the exact same way. He loves you, and he's even better than you. See, my watch is even talking to me. Shut up. But he's good. He's good in his giving. See, in James chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, if you lack wisdom, just ask God. And then it reveals something about God, about our Heavenly Father. It says, he gives liberally and without reproach. Now that word, you know, depending on the Bible translation you have, it can be translated different ways, but the word liberally basically means freely, and my Greek lexicon says it actually means he gives led solely by his desire to bless. It means he loves to bless. He likes that. He is a good father. He loves to bless. He loves to give us good things. The Psalms are full of that. You see in Psalms 84, it says, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. You have Psalm 145, where it says, which verse is it? Verse 9, where it says, the Lord is good to all. The Lord is good to all. Well, how is he good to all? Well, he's good to everybody, to everyone you see, everyone you meet, everyone you has ever met. God is good to them. Why? Well, he is so good that he loved them so much that he sent Jesus. Let's start with that. He sent Jesus so that Actually, literally, it says that all who believe in him, so that's how good he is to all. He sent Jesus so that all who believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So he is good to all. He did it for all. He didn't just do it for a tiny portion of mankind that he picks and chooses. He did it for all. Jesus died for every single person on the planet because he loves us so much. He's good. And all we need to do, see, this is the thing. He's good to all, but then it says only those who receive him. You know, it says those who receive him, he gave them power to become the children of God. You know, and it's the same we see with our Father. He's good to us. He wants to give to us. He wants to bless. He's waiting for to bless us, to give good things to us. But we need to, you know, ask, receive, believe God. You know, Mark 11:24, you ask, you believe, you receive, and you shall have. And actually, on Friday at WordFest, you know, at prayer school, we talked about 5 points, you know, when it came to asking. Just a little, WordFest is where we go a little deeper than on Sundays, you know, but we talked about asking, what the Bible says about asking, just a quick overview. But it, you know, it answers some of these questions, you know, okay, why aren't my prayers answered? You know, I asked God for this, what happened? Answer some of your questions. And it will be online this week, so just saying. I'm not telling you what you missed. Well, you got your answers there, but oops, can't go back in time. Well, yes, you can. It's called a podcast. But God is good in his love. He's a good father when it comes to his giving. He loves to give. He loves to give good things to his children. Now, the last point I have is God is good. He's a good father in his training. In his child training, let's turn to Hebrews 12. Let's turn to Hebrews 12. Now, some of you, you're thinking, okay, I'm going to turn to Hebrews 12. And some of you who know Hebrews 12, you go, uh-oh. Well, it's actually not that bad. Because remember, the basis of our relationship is he is a loving father. He was the one reaching out for us. When we didn't even reach out for him, he was the one reaching out to us. Okay, never forget that he has our best interest at heart. So in Hebrews 12, and starting in verse 3, it says, "For consider him, Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." See, the Hebrews, they were suffering persecution. They were really tempted to let go of Jesus and to just fall back and to leave the faith behind and all this, you know, and Hebrews gives them a little bit of encouragement every once in a while, says, you know, they did the same to Jesus, you know, just remember that, don't be weary. And then it says, "You have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons." And then he's quoting, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives." And everybody says, amen. Amen. "If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten?" See, the thing is that there is a teaching out there that God will never rebuke you about anything. He will never tell you you're wrong. He will never tell you where you go wrong. Do you know what these people do? They keep people in spiritual babyhood. Because it says here, the son, you know, the mature one, the heir, the ones that God receives and that God accepts, it says he rebukes him and he chastens him. This talks about child training, just like every loving parent would. When their children go wrong, every loving parent says, stop, go this way. And if there's any other action you need to take as a parent, you will take that action to make sure that that child gets back into obedience, because that is what will keep them blessed. That is what will keep them on the right path. And God is the same way. Why? Because he loves us. See, there are some people when they read something in the Bible and they notice that their life does not agree, their life does not line up, they fear that they will lose their salvation. Nonsense. This doesn't mean when you read that your life doesn't look like this, you know, well, the Bible says don't do this, don't do that, and your life doesn't look like it. Oh, does that mean I'm going to hell? No, it doesn't. It means you're a child of God because you just heard his voice. It is proof that you don't go to hell Because those who go to hell don't care. The very fact that you read it, the very fact that you listen to the preacher and there's something on the inside of you that goes, ooh, proves that you're a son and a daughter of the Most High God. Because others don't care. They would never feel that way. They would never, that sadness that you feel in that moment is good. It is proof. I mean, absolute, 100% proof positive that you're a child and a son of the Most High God. So, I love it. I love it. Why? Because I know he does it because he loves me. If you read on in verse 8, but if you're without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you're illegitimate and not sons of God. See, if you never have this feeling of, oh, that's wrong. That's right. Hey, stop. Don't do that. If you never have that, this is a proof that you get the picture. But then it says, furthermore, verse 9, we've had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Be in subjection to the fathers of spirits. I tell you this, the world doesn't like it, but it's true. Children are the happiest when they are in subjection to loving parents. It's true. And if you think that it's okay to let your child do just whatever they want and that'll make them happy, you believe a lie. It's wrong. And we see in society what it does. But that's the best thing children can have, be in subjection to loving parents. It's the best thing that can happen. So when your child starts to act up as a loving parent, you do everything you can do to bring that child back into obedience. Why? Love. Not tyranny, love. Verse 10, for they indeed, for a few days, those earthly fathers, chasten us as seemed best to them, but he, God, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. See, how many of you know that even the most loving parent is not perfect? It's what Jesus said. If even you who are evil, you know how to do these things. He said, in your flesh, we still have a flesh. And you know what? Even in child training, sometimes we say things that we shouldn't say. We say things a little too loud, louder than we should say them. You know, it's not right. Sometimes parents act up too. Parents are not always right in what they do and how they do it. It's like leadership, church leadership. It doesn't mean church leadership is perfect. It just means church leadership is church leadership. But see, amen. yeah, that's good. Say amen or say, oh. But see, this is the thing we need to understand. Parents, earthly parents, they do make mistakes. And maybe you've grown up with bad parents. Now here it says that when God does these things, he is perfect. So every time he does that to us, he does it for our profit. He never does it because he just has enough. He never does it because you're too loud and he had a hard day at work and he just wants you to be quiet. This is never his motivation. His motivation is always for our profit because he knows it's good for us. And see, one of the problems is people have taken this, and because their relationship with the Father is not very tight, it's not very good, they don't know the Father very well. And they thought that means he sends them cancer just to teach you something. Yeah, no. I talked to somebody once and that person said, well, you know, sometimes, you know, God just, and then they have these wonderful terms, you know, he allows these things, which is kind of the same thing, you know, he allows these things, you know, to teach you something. Well, So when your child sits outside and you say, come home, come in, you know, it's dinner time and your child doesn't come, do you go there, take your child, smash its skull into the ground until it bleeds and until it has brain damage and say, well, that'll teach you something. Would you do that? See, and this is where the problem comes in. Then people say, well, but you know what? God is higher than we are and his wisdom is higher than our wisdom. And they come out with all this, well, we never know what God is like. We do know what God is like. Look at Jesus. And Jesus said, if you even as parents are so good to your children, how much better is God to us? All right, so he would never do that. This is not what we're talking about. But when you really have a relationship with God, sometimes you read things in the Bible, sometimes you hear the preacher say something, and there is something on the inside of you that goes, ooh. And that's good. That's good. First of all, just thank him. Say, thank you. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. You're correcting me. That is a good thing. Because it says in verse 11, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. See, in that moment, you don't go like, hallelujah. You just go like, It says, but it is painful. It is like, ouch. But then it says that, nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. See, it's child training. It's not child crushing. It's not child destroying. It's training. He deals with us as his children. And yes, there will be times where it's not nice, but on the other side, if you just keep in fellowship with your heavenly Father and you look to him and you thank him and you know he's good and he's loving and there's a reason why he tells you this, you will have peace. You will have a wonderful, the Bible calls it the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Or another translation says the peaceable fruit of right living. If you live the way that God tells you to live, if you are partakers of his holiness, just like it says here in Hebrews 12, it says that the result in your life will be peace. That is why we train our kids. That is why we tell our kids, with sometimes even the strongest consequences, don't run towards the street. When I say stop, I mean stop. Why do we do that? Because we love our kids, we want our kids to be at peace. And believe me, being hit by a truck and being in the hospital for 3 months and having doctors and several surgeries sewing together your body and trying to fix your bones is not peace. So this is what we want to avoid, and this is what God wants to avoid. That is why he is doing these things. And if you know him and you know how good he is, you just go, thank you, Lord. Ah, this hurts, but I know it will be good. It will be good. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, let's stand up and let's just praise him one more time for his goodness. He is a good father. He loves us. He loves to give good gifts to us. The Bible says every gift from above is a good and a perfect gift. So Jesus that came from heaven is the good and the perfect gift. All the things he blesses us with are good and perfect blessings. And even when he's strict with us, it is good, it is perfect, and for our profit. Amen? Amen. Amen. Never forget that. He is good and he loves you. When you know that, you know more than most theologians that I've heard of. He is good, and he loves you. Amen? Amen. If you're here today, you've never received Jesus. You know what I talked about earlier? You've never come to him, you never say, I receive you. I receive what you've done. I thank you for what you've done. Then we have an invitation for you. I got to close the service. But when we close the service, we have a team up here. And if you would just come up, and we would love to show you, in the Bible, what that means. And it's so easy. It's a free gift. That's all you need to do is take it and say, thank you, Jesus. And if you have any questions, we would love to answer those. If you are here and you are a Christian, you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, this is something that the Father sent from above too. Then if you want to receive that, you're welcome to come forward. We know that he loves us. We know that he hears us, the Bible says. We know that he hears us when we ask. So if there's any prayer request you have, if you need agreement, we just ask you to come forward. And there will be a team up here that would love to minister to you. But God is good all the time. You're loved by him all the time. There's nothing you can do to fall from his love. There's nothing that will ever separate you from his love, because he has already proven how much he loves you in Jesus. Amen. Amen. So have a great week. God bless you. It will be a good week.